Now verse 54. After Jesus reached up, touched the sun, and reached over and touched the temple, and reached down and touched the earth, and reached under and touched the graves. Finally, as the Savior of the world, in verse 54, from the cross, Jesus did one more wonderful work. He touched the centurion. Matthew 27:54, it says, "So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Mark's account is a little more pointed. Mark says that it was the centurion that said to the others that were standing there, when he had witnessed all this, he said, "That was the Son of God, that centurion." Now for us, centurion, I mean, that's kind of like something from a movie or something. I mean, we don't really deal with centurions. A centurion was a Roman soldier who was trained to never fear. That's what a centurion was. He was fearless. As the most trusted of the soldiers of Caesar's legions, these were the men who looked death in the face unflinchingly. They were the ones who would lock their shields and stand against anything that could be unleashed at them and never turn back. Legionnaires, with their mighty shields, in battle and marching against countless foes and never fearing. Have you ever paused to think about the scene of verse 54? What kind of amazing events these must have been to make a tough, calloused, hardened centurion fear greatly. He was the one that was closest to the scene. He was the one assigned by the emperor to stand there until the executed criminal was done and was dead, and there was no doubt about it. So he had to witness Jesus Christ eye to eye for the whole time, because that was his job, and he never turned back from it. That soldier had been born somewhere in the empire. Perhaps his father was a legionnaire. He had listened to the stories as he grew up about the wonders of ancient Rome. He knew its nobles, its temples, its virtues, and its fearless legionaries. And as he grew, perhaps his father took him on the holidays. And at an arena, he had seen gladiators fighting to the death and mighty horse and chariot races. But one day in his life, he made a choice. He made a choice to become a legionnaire, to give his oath to Caesar, to become one of Caesar's finest. And the barracks became his home. He was taught to discipline his body, to obey orders, to fight without fear. He learned to kill. He learned to drink and to curse by the gods. He was calloused and hard, a soldier of Rome. And as he distinguished himself in his duties, he rose to become a leader of 100, a centurion. And then one day, on the bulletin board of his barracks in Jerusalem, a notice was posted dispatching him. And he went to the most despised corner of the empire, not to the lovely coastal port of Roman Caesarea, no, of all places. He was in Jerusalem, a city seething with religious fanaticism and zealots, and ready to explode at any moment. But as a legionnaire, he respected Rome and obeyed. And he served Caesar in Jerusalem. And one morning he was summoned by the Roman governor Pilate. And there in Pilate's palace, Pilate looked him in the eye and said, "Take those three, crucify them, and report back to me that they're dead." Well, who were they? It really didn't matter to that centurion. He'd already been a part of crucifying 30,000. It was just a job. He heard one of them thought he was some kind of a king, but we'll show him what those who rival the true king will go through. But now, in verse 54, it's 3 p.m. And as that verse tells us, when the centurion and those who were with him in his detachment, as they stood watching Jesus, as they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. And then that centurion confessed that Jesus was who he claimed to be, that he was God the Son, God in human flesh. He saw the sign over his head. He knew who he claimed to be. He had heard and he confessed. You know, that's the greatest of all the miracles of the cross, because that's the miracle Jesus is still doing. Jesus reached down from that cross and drew that centurion to himself. And I've often wondered what it was like when that man went home after his tour of duty. People came up to him and said, "Hey, you're different. What happened to you over there in Palestine?" And I can hear the centurion saying, "I met a man one day on a place called Calvary. He was dying on a cross of wood, and that man was God. And that man changed my life. He was never the same." And I wonder on this Sunday, if you have experienced the greatest of all the miracles, because Jesus is still touching hearts today. This isn't just a story in a book that's 2,000 years old. This is ongoing and alive. And the gospel declares that whoever personally from their heart of hearts will call on the name of the Lord, he said, "I'll save you." Jesus still touches hearts today. When he hung on the cross of wood for you and me, he confirmed his deity as he performed these touches from Calvary. We worship the light of the world because he lit the sun and then he reached up and he darkened it. And we worship the way to God, as John 14:6 calls Christ, because he tore open that dividing wall to the temple. And we worship the maker of all things, who alone can make the earth to quake. And we worship him who is the resurrection and the life, because he's the only one that can speak and those in the grave can hear and come forth. And we worship the Savior of the world. In fact, John put it this way: the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, because he reached down and touched that calloused, pagan, hardened heart of that centurion. And that's what he still does today. Have you met Jesus? Has he changed your life? Jesus promised that whoever comes to me, I will never push away. And this morning, Jesus actually came to this service. In fact, he comes every Sunday to every church where he is proclaimed and lifted up, and where his word is opened and declared to be the voice of God.